Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. The country, this country, decided long ago that discrimination at the lunch counter or on a bus or in housing was not okay, not constitutional. What about at a cake shop when the would-be customers are celebrating their gay wedding and the baker says no? The U.S. Supreme Court took it up yesterday. The court's ruling will have social, political, and legal ramifications for years to come. Lawyers are framing it in terms of religious liberty, anti-discrimination, and freedom of speech. This hour on Point, the masterpiece, Cake Shop Case, and the Supreme Court. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on, how do you see this case? Matt Sharp from the Alliance Defending Freedom, a lawyer for Jack Phillips, the masterpiece cake shop baker who refused to create that wedding cake for a same-sex couple. The lawyer said this case was about keeping the government from telling professionals what to do in their own businesses.
This is about the freedom of creative professionals like Jack and others all across the country to be able to create their expression and their artwork without fear of the government telling them what they must create in a manner that violates their religious convictions.
But it was jammed in front of the Supreme Court building yesterday. Protester from New Jersey here stood outside with a rainbow polka dot umbrella and said people should not be able to push their religious beliefs on others.
I'm not here to say that Christians can't be Christians. You want to pray to whatever God you want to pray to? Go ahead. You want to read whatever religious text you want? Go ahead. You want to worship in whatever house of worship you want to? Go ahead. That's religious freedom. When you demand other people adhere to your religion in public, you are crossing a line.
It was not quite as loud inside the courtroom, but there were issues that will echo loudly here for years. Joining me now from Washington is David Savage, Supreme Court correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He was in the courtroom yesterday at the Supreme Court during the arguments. David Savage, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Tom.
Would you be kind enough to remind us just of the basics of this case, and then I want to go to the arguments and questions we heard in the courtroom yesterday.
Well, let me see. Colorado, like 20 other states, mostly New England, West Coast, have laws that say if you're in business, public business, you may not discriminate, not only just based on race, gender, nationality, but on sexual orientation. Two men came to Masterpiece Cake Shop in 2012 asking about getting a wedding cake for a reception that was coming up. Jack Phillips, who's a conservative Christian, says, sorry, guys, you know, I can sell you stuff in the store, donuts or whatever, but I can't make a cake for you because my biblical belief is that marriage is between a man and a woman, so I simply couldn't do that. They left, were sort of upset. They filed a complaint with the state commission. State commission said, yes, Mr. Phillips violated the law. If he's going to make wedding cakes, he needs to make them for all customers without regard to discrimination based on sexual orientation. The Colorado courts upheld that. They appealed to the Supreme Court. And weeks after Neil Gorsuch arrived, they held this petition for a long time. But after Gorsuch arrived, the court granted it. So the question they were deciding is there sort of a free speech right or to some degree a free religion right to not serve a customer, an exemption to the state law based on your First Amendment free speech and religion?
And that's before the court. I want to go into the questions that they asked, the arguments that they heard. I mean, we had the principals there, I guess, in the courtroom and also outside yesterday. David Mullins, one of the members of the couple there, said he and his fiance had felt pain when the Colorado baker told them he would not make a wedding cake for them.
I cried. Charlie cried. We were hurt and felt rejected, and we felt like second-class citizens in our society.
And the baker, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, was there as well with his view.
Stopping the wedding art has cost us much of our business. It's hard to believe that the government is forcing me to choose between providing for my family and my employees and violating my relationship with God.
David Savage was there covering it all for the Los Angeles Times. Take us inside the courtroom yesterday. What were the, before we get to the questions, how did the attorneys for each side frame this, David?
Well, the attorney for Mr. Phillips basically said this is a matter of free expression, that making a custom cake is a sort of act of expression, and that no, the government should not force anybody to sort of express a view that he doesn't agree with. In fact, conflicts with his basic beliefs.
And so, I'm saying the cake comprised an expressed view.
It's expressive conduct.
Okay.
And a lot of the justices, particularly the liberals, jumped on that and said, well, wait a minute. Elena Kagan said, what about a jeweler? What about a hairstylist? You know, what about a dress designer?
Others around a potential wedding of some kind.
Correct. In other words, she was saying, how can you say a cake maker is engaged in speech? Why not every other profession? Somebody said, why not architects and home builders? I mean, you can come up with a whole series of names. So the whole first part of the argument was to say, can the court really decide this as a matter of free expression that it would be sort of narrow? The liberal justices are basically saying, if you open this door, all kinds of professions can say, my work is expressive and therefore I don't have to serve certain people. This is a case about gay rights, but you could certainly imagine the same situation. What if somebody says, I don't want to serve Muslims? I have a religious view or whatever, and I don't want to serve Muslims. That once you start down this road, you've opened up a big hole in the civil rights laws. And so that was the sort of first half of the argument, Tom. Mm-hmm. And it really looked like the justices are not going to buy that, particularly Justice Kennedy intervened at one point and said to the government's attorney, well, suppose somebody puts up a sign and says, I will not serve gay couples. You wouldn't call that an affront to the gay community? And then he went on to say, you know, you're saying this is narrow, but a lot of other people could do this. There could be boycotts of gay people. Do you really want us to, you know, to do something like that? And so it seemed like Kennedy was very troubled by that prospect.
We had David Cole, this is from the ACLU, an attorney for the same-sex couple, said that the First Amendment does not exempt business owners like Jack Phillips, the cake baker, from anti-discrimination laws. Here he was, David.
The fact that somebody objects to the message that equal treatment sends doesn't give him a First Amendment right to opt out of the basic requirement that businesses treat all their customers equally.
And here, Kristen Wagner, attorney for Jack Phillips, the baker, said the Constitution cuts both ways, should protect Phillips.
The court is considering both sides of this issue, and the dignity cuts both ways. Mr. Phillips has a great amount at stake in this case, and forcing people to violate their convictions is just something that the Constitution doesn't permit.
What about that argument, David? The Constitution cannot force you to violate your convictions. There are all kinds of convictions, I guess. Does it matter if they're religious or not? At one time, people thought African-Americans shouldn't sit at lunch counters. That was their conviction in the South.
Well, as I say, that was more the focus of the first argument is that if we open this up, it's a big hole in the civil rights laws. But I should say in the second half of the argument, focus much more on religion. And when the Colorado State Attorney stood up to defend the law, it was clear that Justice Kennedy was also very troubled by what he thought was sort of a religious bias in this case, that there was, he said at one point, hostility to religion. So Kennedy then asked a series of questions that he was troubled the way this was handled. You know, I've watched Justice Kennedy for a lot of years, and he is somebody who believes very much in the principle of dignity. I've seen him, an attorney once got up and said something that my opponent made a ridiculous argument, and Kennedy stopped him and said, do you really want to say the word ridiculous, and forced the attorney to say, well, sort of unfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case, Kennedy has great respect and believes in dignity for gay people, and he's very offended that, you know, in a situation like this, it would be, as he said, an affront to the gay community. But he also seemed very offended and troubled that this conservative Christian baker was being sort of mistreated or treated in a hostile way by the Colorado authorities. So part of, as I say, part of the second half argument, it was clear that Kennedy was a little troubled by the idea that this reflects, as he said, a sort of hostility to religion. So since he's the deciding vote, you know, you come away thinking this is a very close call.
How did the conservative justices come in? You have the, some of the liberal more liberal justices talking about, well, does this apply to jewelers and dressmakers and makeup, you know, people. But what about the conservative side of the bench?
Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, it's clear that they're on the side of the baker. They ask a series of questions that really went to religion. John Roberts said, well, suppose, you know, it's a Catholic League. I mean, are you saying that the Catholic League offering free social services in Colorado would be forced by law to you know, help somebody in a same-sex marriage, even if it violated their deep views? Justice Alito asked a series of questions about Catholic colleges. You remember, they dissented 2 years ago when the court upheld the right to same-sex marriage. So they thought the court was wrong to uphold this right in the first place. Mm. And they seem like they think it would be doubly wrong to sort of force, in this case, a conservative Christian to do something that they seem to believe is sort of expressing, forcing him to celebrate a same-sex marriage when he would, you know, he thinks that conflicts with his religious views. So they will be on the side of the baker.
David, is this a rare head-to-head kind of meeting of these principles in the Constitution and in law, religious liberty, freedom of expression, anti-discrimination? Is it unusual for them to be so sort of nose-to-nose?
Well, we haven't had any quite like this for a while, but there have been cases throughout the court's history. But most of them, you know, Tom, in the old days were minority religions. You know, there's a famous case from World War II where, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever, the kids didn't want to salute the flag and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And mm-hmm. in one of the court's famous decisions called West Virginia versus Barnett, they said, no, the government cannot force, you know, a child who has a religious view to violate his religion and salute the flag and say the Pledge of Allegiance. And that was a great principle of the freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion. And that case may show up again in this one when it's finally decided.
This time with a Christian, in not a Jehovah's Witness, but a more mainstream Christian as party to the case. David Savage with the LA Times. Please stand by there. We're looking at the Masterpiece Cake Shop case before the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Masterpiece Cake Shop case before the United States Supreme Court and what it will say, the decision, about rights and discrimination in this country. David Savage is with us, Supreme Court and legal correspondent for the Los Angeles Times. He was in the courtroom yesterday as the questions came, as the cases were made. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Should the cake maker make a cake for whoever comes through the door? Treat all customers the same? If it's a gay marriage, should that make a difference? And what if the cake maker takes exception on religious grounds? Do you buy the argument that he's an artist? This is his art. He deserves freedom of expression, even if that means saying no. What about the florist, the tailor, the photographer, the chef, the venue? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. What do you see at stake here? David, we heard yesterday from all the parties here, lots of people demonstrating out front as well. Dave Mullins and Charlie Craig are the gay couple turned away by Jack Phillips in Colorado in 2012. Yesterday, outside the court, after the arguments, Charlie Craig said this case is about equality.
We're two regular guys. Dave and I do not have an agenda. We do, though, have hopes and dreams. We want to grow old together. And most importantly, we want everyone to be treated equally.
His partner, David Mullins, was there as well, said the case is about more than being refused a wedding cake.
This isn't about a cake. This has never been about a cake. No. This is about freedom.
Freedom for LGBT people to live full lives in public and not in constant fear that they will be denied basic service in businesses, fired from their jobs, or lose their homes just for who they are.
There's the couple that was turned away. Plenty of protesters on both sides. Here's one supporting Jack Phillips, the baker.
Jack Phillips is trying to live out his faith, trying to express his beliefs in correlation with his business. In this case, he did not discriminate. He did not turn the couple away because they were gay. He makes cakes for all people. He makes baked goods for all people of all different kinds, but he just can't support every message.
And here's Jack Phillips himself. He was talking with Eternal Word Television Network outside the court yesterday, said he was hopeful.
I think it went well, and I just hope now that the justices will look at this case and allow creative professionals like myself to create freely according to their conscience, and that nobody else has to go through what my family and I have gone through for the last 5 years.
David Savage, we've got legal thinkers on both sides of this. I want to bring in a couple of callers first, if we may, and to interact with you right here. Tom in Detroit. Tom, what do you think?
Hi, Tom. My thought is this. You know those little wristbands that you see with WWJD on it? What would Jesus do?
Yes.
Jesus would tell them, bake the cake. I mean, Jesus didn't discriminate, okay? And I think what this fellow needs to do, he needs to go and, like, really search his conscience. And, you know, just like, what would Jesus do? Jesus would tell him to bake the cake.
But what if he thinks otherwise, Tom? I mean, I get it. That's your reading of the Bible. But we've heard Jack Phillips, the baker, say many times that he's struggled as a result of having denied this, that he's sacrificed a lot for this. And this is just how he sees, his interpretation of his religion.
Well, you know what they say, different strokes for different folks. You know, he sees it one way and I see it the other.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just think that this thing is insane that it has even gotten to the Supreme Court. I mean, a cake? Come on. I could see if, you know, the two guys walked in and told them, well, you know, this is what we had. And he goes, like, you know, I don't like, not so much I don't like gay people, but, you know, I can't do this because you're gay. All right?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. But, I mean, a cake.
Well, that's what happened here. May I ask you, Tom, people are saying if the court rules in favor of the baker, you could see all kinds of erosion of anti-discrimination law in this country. Yeah. Do you think it's fair for them to expect to be served in this cake shop as African Americans once expected or had to fight to be served at a lunch counter? Is that a fair equation, Tom?
Well, I'm going to give you a personal example. I'm African-American, and I could walk into that guy's cake shop, and he could say, well, you know, I don't serve people who look like you. I mean, you know, this it's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Yep. Tom, I appreciate your call. Let me get one more, and I'll bring it to you, David. Mark, thank you, Tom, in Detroit. Mark in Lowell, Massachusetts. Mark, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi.
Just quickly. I have a very close friend who is both gay and a baker.
Okay.
At first he would say he would love to bake the cake for these people.
All right.
But regardless,
right. Yep.
He feels as I do. The government has no right to tell you who you can serve and he feels the same way as an artist. You know, what's next? Are you going to tell a vegetarian restaurant that they have to serve meat because the person comes in who is a meat eater or cater to a company? Cater to a party that has meat eaters. It's too far reaching.
But where's the line, Mark? I mean, if I may ask, what about Tom in Detroit? He says he might walk in there as an African American man and have the cake shop owner say, "Well, my religion tells me I shouldn't make cake art for African American men."
But the baker made it perfectly clear that he would sell that couple anything they wanted out of the store. He was not refusing them.
Well, but just out of the cooler, you know. They wanted their own wedding cake. That's not a whole lot to ask, is it?
Okay. Is he the only wedding cake baker in Colorado?
No, I'm sure he's not. But then, you know, it gets tricky here. If you allow discrimination, are we back to the lunch counter situation? Mark, I appreciate your call as well. David Savage, our first two callers there, were these threads in the courtroom yesterday?
Well, the example about the vegetarian in the meat restaurant, you remember this is only an anti-discrimination law. It's not the government saying to anybody, you've got to serve meat or you've got to serve a vegetarian.
Vanilla cake or chocolate cake.
In other words, there are a lot of examples about KKK and whatever. You can refuse to deal with the KKK. What the law says, however, you may not discriminate against somebody because of their race, their religion, their gender, national origin, or sexual orientation. So it's only that type of discrimination. If the KKK come in to the store and says, we want you to make something for us to celebrate our next Klan rally, mm-hmm. the business owner could say, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. But the law says you can't discriminate based on those categories. So that's all that's at issue here. It's not a government dictum that says every business has to serve every product to every person.
David, please stand by there. I want to bring in a couple of people thinking about this from different angles. Rachel Tiven is with us. She's lawyer, CEO of Lambda Legal. It's an LGBT legal organization. They filed an amicus brief in support of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which has supported the gay couple. Rachel Tiven, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
And from Philadelphia, Michael Moreland joins us. He's a professor of law, religion, director of the McCullen Center for Law, Religion, Public Policy at Villanova University. And he joined an amicus brief along with 34 other legal scholars supporting the cake shop owner. Michael Moreland, thanks to you for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Tom. Thanks.
What do you see at stake in this case, Michael?
Well, I would emphasize the fact that this request for making a cake for the wedding involves Jack Phillips in creating an expressive product for an expressive event, namely a wedding, and that's what differentiates it from a lot of other anti-discrimination contexts, and that a long line of cases have said that the government can't force you to endorse a message or engage in an expressive event to which you have objection. David mentioned West Virginia versus Barnett about forced recitation of the pledge. There are also a series of cases actually involving public accommodations, anti-discrimination laws about parades and Boy Scout leaders. And I think that all those cases tell us together that Jack Phillips shouldn't be forced, given his First Amendment rights, shouldn't be forced to engage in an expressive event and create an expressive product to which he has an objection.
Rachel, how do you see what's at stake here?
This is really about whether the government, whether we are open to everyone on the same terms, right? When you own a business, you can make choices about what products to sell, and you can make choices about how your customers behave in your store. But you can't refuse customers because of their race or their religion or their sexual orientation. You can say, no shirt, no shoes, no service. But you can't say, no shirt, no shoes, no lesbians.
So you say, but Jack Phillips has, and his case has made it to the Supreme Court. I mean, is there, Michael says there's room under other cases looking at expressive products or expressive events for shades here. Do you see that room in this case, Rachel?
Nothing that ADF said yesterday, nothing that the baker said yesterday drew any kind of line. They refused to answer or could not answer every single question about how this would be limited to gay people, how it would be limited to weddings, how it would be limited in any number of ways that are enormously significant. There is no asterisk in the Colorado law mm-hmm. next to sexual orientation.
I mean, but does that mean, David Savage, there's no asterisk there, but can the court come in, would they in effect have to come in and say the Colorado law is unconstitutional if they side with the baker?
Well, no, they would be ruling that he is entitled to an exemption based on freedom of speech and his religious beliefs. I do agree with Rachel, though. It's a very hard opinion to write. The more I listened to them ask questions, I thought, you know, Justice Kennedy may lean a little bit. He may be sympathetic to the plight of the baker, but my goodness, it's a hard opinion to write. I mean, they could write an opinion that says Jack Phillips wins because of freedom of speech, but I don't understand how they don't – that would not be read as opening a pretty wide door for a whole lot of other people who could say my business involves expressive conduct and I have a deep belief based on my religion that I don't agree with something and therefore I won't do it. And that would give me a constitutional right to ignore an anti-discrimination law. So I don't understand exactly how you write that opinion.
Michael Moreland, we are a very diverse, pluralistic society. How do you draw a line here without getting into attacking anti-discrimination laws, which we well understand the background of in this country, in which we reached a consensus very firmly at one point that we needed to escape the prejudices of history.
Well, I agree. It's a hard case, and I agree with what's been said about the difficulty of drawing an administrable line here. But that's a lot of what First Amendment law does: is it protects categories of speech under some circumstances and not under others. And I fully understand the importance of the anti-discrimination interest here, but I also think liberty is a two-way street. Justice Kennedy said in oral argument yesterday that toleration is about mutual toleration. And Craig and Mullins have a now constitutionally protected right to same-sex marriage, but I also think that there should be space in a pluralistic society for people like Jack Phillips to be protected in their right not to be forced to engage in creating expressive products to which they object given their religious beliefs.
Let's let our listeners in. John in Austin, Texas. John, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
You know, does this? I'm a small business owner. I take everybody's money. It doesn't matter
okay.
to me. But when I look at that, or when I keep hearing this, doesn't it boil down to that word art? I mean, how are you going to get an artist that, whether it's religious or just basic values or beliefs or anything that they might have, you're going to tell someone to draw something and they just don't feel it. And then you're going to say, hey, you're discriminating. And they're like, well, I'm not into whether it's whatever type of lifestyle. And they're going to get mad. Doesn't it just boil down to that word art?
I mean, well, but is baking a cake have to be seen? John, does baking a cake have to be seen as art? I mean, you know the baker could bake a cake for these guys. You know that he could batter, he could bake it, he could ice it. I mean, he could do that.
Sure. So so that's baking a cake. But from my understanding of this case is that they wanted him to draw something on top of this cake, which then boils into art. If they came in with a graphic and just said, hey, just put this on the cake.
Let's test that piece of it, John. I'm not sure about that. David Savage was, I thought it was the cake itself that Jack Phillips is describing as his work of art. Was there some further elaboration that they asked for?
Well, I think your understanding is right, Tom, that that these guys came in and there was no discussion of the cake, what it would look like. I think Jack Phillips' attorneys would have a much stronger case had they sat down and had an hour-long discussion. And Phillips had said, well, look, I'll make you a standard white three-tier cake, but I know you want a sort of a rainbow theme on it, or even something – you want a biblical message that approves of your marriage. Mm-hmm. And he could say, I'm really I can't do that. That's a sort of words that I can't do. This sort of stopped at the beginning where he's basically saying – I'm not going to make a custom cake for you because I know your cake is going to be used for a same-sex wedding, and I don't approve. I've got problems with that. So it actually – there was no particular word or message at issue here. It was just the act of making the cake. Mm-hmm. In fact, his attorney tried to make this case really, really narrow. She basically said – if two guys came in on Wednesday and said, we have a wedding reception coming up this weekend. I see that three-tier cake there. We really like that. Could we buy that? And she said he would say, yes, I'll sell that. On the other hand, if the guys came in and said, we really like that cake sitting there, the three-tier cake, would you make one for us? He'd say, no, I can't do that because I would
be,
you know, making a custom cake. So it's a very narrow line there.
Rachel, Tom, what about the artistic argument here? You know, you can't – don't force me.
Right. I think the question is, are we comfortable with every commercial transaction involving the proprietor's opinion of your life? Because if this is acceptable, then surely it's acceptable for the baker to say, I'm sorry, I don't make cakes for people who are divorced, so I can't bake your cake until you show me proof of your annulment. Is that the kind of – engagement that we want to have in everyday commercial space?
I don't think so. Michael, is that what you envision here? Is that where we could end up?
It depends on the context of what message is being demanded to be expressed. And David's correct. I think there's some ambiguity in the record about whether or not the cake was going to be custom made or bespoke or whether it was going to be something that was fairly generic.
But it's pretty clear in the Colorado law, you know, it's race, it's sexual orientation. It's not everything under the sun.
Well, it's clear that you can't deny service to a category of persons, and I agree with that. But this is not a denial of service case. This is a case about refusal to create art. It's about a refusal to create a product on demand that expresses a message. And again, I think that's where the if the court ends up on Jack Phillips' side, I think it will be on the basis that creation of art for that kind of expressive purpose is something that the First Amendment protects.
Basis of art, it can feel like a denial of service. I'm sure it felt like a denial of service to that couple on that day. It's all before the court right now. Michael Moreland is with us from Villanova. Rachel Tivins here from Lambda Legal. David Savage has covered all this for the Los Angeles Times. How should the court come down here and why? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Masterpiece Cake Shop case before the U.S. Supreme Court and what it will say about rights and discrimination in this country. Rachel Tivins is with us from Lambda Legal. Michael Moreland here from Villanova. David Savage has covered all this for the Los Angeles Times. You can join us this hour if the court sides with the cake maker, Jack Phillips. Is all anti-discrimination law in this country in trouble? Can we afford that? Do we want that? Are gay couples made second-class citizens if the cake maker can say no? And what about his freedom of expression? Tons of protesters there yesterday out in front of the court. Here was one.
They think that since they have the right to refuse service, then they have the right to refuse service based on someone's identity, but that's not true because there are protected groups under the Supreme Court and under the law that you're not allowed to discriminate against. They weren't being, like, dangerous or anything like that. That's when you have the right to refuse service.
So what are we going to do here? Ian writes to us online, very sympathetic with the cake baker, but a protected class is a protected class. It's very clear. They want the law changed, then that's their right to do, and they can change it. Jay says, I don't think Charlie Craig and David Mullins were celebrating their gay wedding. They were celebrating their wedding. But Jack Phillips, some others in society, may not be ready to go there. Flo in Springfield, Illinois. Flo, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Good to talk with you.
You too.
I am wondering, my faith tells me that I don't judge other people. Jesus said it plainly, judge not that you be not judged. And I was wondering if this baker, judging based on his religion, has criteria for the man-woman who comes in wanting a cake. Does he ask them, have you committed adultery, which would be against his religious beliefs? You know, does he have judgmental characteristics against everybody, or is he just judging the gay community?
Flo, I appreciate your question very much. Michael Moreland, are we headed into scarlet letter territory here? You walk in and you can be interrogated by the baker about your ethical life?
Well, look, I mean, I don't know what I would have done in Jack Phillips' position, but what I do know is that he doesn't create cakes for bachelor or bachelorette parties. He doesn't create cakes for Halloween. He puts his faith into action. He has, you know, he's a believer in the biblical understanding of marriage. And based on that, he put limits on what he's the kind of art he's willing to create and the kind of products he's willing to create and the kind of expressive activity he wants to engage in.
But is it okay, to Flo's question, if someone came in who he knew had committed adultery and he could say, well, now I judge that your marital life is inadequate by my moral standard. No, I won't, you know. I won't bake for you.
It would depend on the message that was going to be put on the cake. And the
no message. No message was even discussed here. So forget the message. It's just the service I think we're talking about.
Sure. Then in that case, I think the anti-discrimination law would have to apply if that was a protected category.
I mean, Rachel, what happens to our anti-discrimination law if the court sides with Jack Phillips here?
It is undone. It crumbles from the inside. I mean... Jack Phillips and his lawyers would have you believe that there's some sort of limit, but they can't articulate what the limit would be. And Lambda Legal hears every day from people around the country who are facing real discrimination in every aspect of their lives, literally from cradle to grave, We hear from people who are denied entry into a childbirth class because they're told that the presence of a lesbian couple would make the other couples uncomfortable, or denied services by a midwife because, as a Christian woman, I can't work with you. We hear from people who have been turned away by a pediatrician because the pediatrician says, you can't be the real parents, and I don't want your kid in my practice. By daycare centers that are saying, we just can't enroll your child, right? This has an impact on children of LGBT families that is pervasive. And it's not, it isn't limited by, if this exception goes into effect, mm-hmm. if this kind of exemption is written into the law, there is no limit to how much it will hurt LGBT people and lots and lots and lots of other people. I mean, I think it's notable that Sherrilyn Ifill, the head of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, said yesterday that if you believe this is acceptable, well, then it's the same thing as saying that why couldn't black people in America stay in a different hotel or pack a lunch before getting to the Greyhound bus station? Right. I mean, that's what is at stake here.
Keith in Boston, thank you for calling. Keith, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Okay.
I couldn't agree more with what was just said. My point is, consider, for example, if Mr. Mullins went into that bake shop by himself and said he wanted a custom cake created. Mm-hmm. And the baker said, fine. He went ahead and did it. And then, when it was ready, 2 weeks later, the couple went in and said, hey, we're here to pick up our cake for our same-sex wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Would he then say, oh, I can't sell it to you. My art will now be in celebration of this gay marriage, and I can't have that happen. That's what we're dealing with here. I mean, there is no bright line. What if a black man goes in there and says, I'd like to buy a cake, but then goes in to pick it up and says, this is for my interracial marriage. Oh, I can't do that.
So you think this should be a settled issue already, Keith?
I think this should be a very easy case to decide. I think it is settled law.
David Savage, the court has been trending conservative. I mean, I don't know where this will come down. I don't know how Justice Kennedy is going to come down here. But Rachel fears a kind of watershed or a kind of turning back in a different direction here. Do you feel those winds at work in this case, David Savage?
Well, it is a conservative court, and so they're open to conservative arguments that you wouldn't make with a liberal court. Let me mention one theme that wasn't sounded in the court yesterday and we haven't talked about today, mm-hmm. which is the sort of states' rights. It's only the blue states in America that actually have these laws. No southern state has a broad law that outlaws discrimination based on sexual orientation in businesses. This is a sort of a conservative free speech attack on the laws in the liberal states. We have another case coming up next month on union fees for public employees. Same thing. There's about 20 states, all the blue states, have laws that say if you're a unionized public employee, you have to pay a fair share fee. That's being attacked as unconstitutional, violates the First Amendment. So this is a free speech First Amendment attack on the laws in the blue states. And as I say, one theme that's never sounded in the court is the conservative justices saying, well, states pass their own laws. People have different views about this in Massachusetts and in New York and in California and Oregon and whatever, Colorado. The people wanted a strong anti-discrimination law that protects based on sexual orientation. There is no such law in Alabama or Mississippi or Nebraska.
But David, may I ask you, does it not make a difference that Obergefell was decided by the court? Justice Kennedy wrote the decision, right? I mean, if that's the law of the land. Gay marriage is the law of the land. Doesn't that come with certain presumptions of protection?
Well, you're absolutely right, Tom, that is a constitutional rule and applies in all 50 states. And it says the government, the state, may not discriminate and deny marriage to same-sex couples. But nonetheless, in Alabama, if I were running a business and said I don't want to provide this service, I don't think there's any law that says I couldn't do this. So this is an attack on broad anti-discrimination laws that only apply in 20 or 21 states.
I think that's an excellent point. And in fact, in Mississippi, it is the law now that you can discriminate broadly. You have an affirmative right to discriminate against LGBT people in Mississippi. Lambda is challenging this, and we have asked the Supreme Court to review this law in Mississippi. But it gives permission, it gives license to people like the funeral home that we are suing in Mississippi to discriminate against a gay couple. We're representing a widower who, after the death of his husband of 40 years, the funeral home said, I'm sorry, we won't pick up your husband's remains from the nursing home. Because when he signed the paperwork and said that he, the husband, was the next of kin, they said, we don't serve your kind. Mississippi not only tolerates this, they are explicitly inviting it. And not just based on religious belief, but based on any quote-unquote moral belief, right? So this is the circumstance. And the question is, do we want to live in a society that says, for you, for LGBT people, there is always going to be an asterisk. You will never be fully equal.
Michael Moreland, what about people concerned that we could get into a much more religious period here? I mean, Mike Pence is vice president of the country. It's very, very religious. Alabama may send Roy Moore, who puts the Bible in front of the Constitution. Could the court trend in a direction that where Americans would, whatever their beliefs, would be asked, every time they turn around to bow to someone else's beliefs in commerce?
Well, obviously, I wouldn't put it quite like that way. I think that an important point to make here is that those seeking expanded protection for the LGBT community, I would think in some cases would want protections also for people like Jack Phillips not to be forced to express messages, because it's that in a way that's preventing, I think, some of the passage of LGBT protections in more conservative states. And that if, as in Utah, where they reached a compromise on these questions, where you have, as I said before, we have a two-way protection, both for gays and lesbians in employment and other settings, but that you also have protection for those who don't want to participate, for example, in same-sex weddings. And on the Obergefell point, sure, Obergefell says there's a right of same-sex marriage in the Constitution, but both the majority opinion from Justice Kennedy and the dissents, especially in Chief Justice Roberts' dissent, made very clear that the religious objectors to same-sex marriage are not bigots, and that there should be protection for them to express those views, because that's still right, part of their free speech rights under the First Amendment.
Mm. And people can absolutely express their views. There is nothing in the public accommodations law of Colorado that tells people what they have to believe. It is a law about business serving customers equally. If you sell a product, you have to sell it to everyone, regardless of how you feel about their race, their religion, their sexual orientation. You can be disapproving. That's not what's at stake here. That's not the question. The question is, if you go into business, do you follow the laws that apply to all businesses? Do you allow the health department to inspect your premises? Do you follow the law? Do you pay your taxes? Right? There have been lots and lots of cases with religious objections to all kinds of things. And I'm just going to quote from a case from 1990, right, in which the Supreme Court said that we cannot grant exemptions from laws that apply to all simply because they burden the free exercise of some. And, quote, any society adopting such a system would be courting anarchy. The author of that opinion is Justice Antonin Scalia.
David Savage, what are you anticipating here?
Well, if you're talking about the outcome, Tom, I don't know. I think it's a real close call. I think it's, as I say, I thought this is a hard opinion to write, and Justice Kennedy wouldn't want to open this door. But who knows? We have a couple cases this year. They had a big gerrymandering case, I think we talked about, where Kennedy is the deciding vote. He sees it as a free speech First Amendment issue. And he thought, how do you write that opinion? And so it's going to be an interesting term, because he may try to find a way to carve out some exception for Mr. Phillips, but it's going to be a hard opinion to write, and I think we won't know the answer until late June.
I mean, when gay marriage was made the law of the land, I think a lot of Americans thought, well, that's the law now, and that's the end of the disapproval. Did people expect too much, David? Could that be hemmed in?
I think I think that's still where we're heading, and it's just a matter of it takes time. You remember how things have changed on gay marriage, same-sex marriage. The country has changed quite a bit. There's still some people who are troubled by the idea. I think it's a shrinking number. I went out to Lakewood and went around to other bakers and other business people, and they all said, oh, we'd be glad to serve. You know, there's plenty of bakers. Mr. Phillips has a strong view on this. He's maintained his view, but I really think we're heading down the road that 5 or 10 years from now, there will not be continuing opposition to dealing with same-sex couples.
Michael, if it's Justice Kennedy who has the decision in his hands, what's the argument you would make to him that he might find most persuasive?
That freedom of speech and toleration, as I said earlier, should go both ways, and that there's room enough here to protect Jack Phillips' right not to engage in expressive activity and creating expressive art alongside the protection for the same-sex couple here, both to get married and to otherwise, have a great life together, and that he's always been a consistent defender of freedom of speech, although he is also the architect of the court's primary gay rights decisions. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's much of what the struggle will be here.
Rachel, what would you say to the court, to Justice Kennedy in particular, who may hold the decision?
Well, I think you should listen to his colleague, Justice Sotomayor, who reminded us yesterday that public accommodations law doesn't force you to like people or approve of them or invite them into your home. But if you want to be part of our civic community, she said, you can't refuse to sell to people because of their race, their religion, their national origin, and in this case, their sexual orientation.
Are you optimistic? Are you confident about the outcome here, Rachel?
I'm not in the prediction business. I'm just in the argument business. I think that there is a lot at stake, and I think that Justice Kennedy sees that his legacy, of which by all reports he is extremely proud, of really opening the court to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, which he did in 1996 in a case that Lambda Legal brought that struck down Colorado's state law that said that you can discriminate at will against LGBT people. And that that was the beginning of this great chapter in Justice Kennedy's career, and he's very proud of that, and I hope that he would not do anything to diminish that.
David Savage, with all the politics going on right now, this seems like a huge moment on the legal side. I mean, if it should go against the gay couple, it feels like we're heading into a different, maybe going back. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think it would be the beginning. It would be the beginning of a series of religious liberty, religious freedom claims. I think that's the concern on the right, protection for religious liberty. And it would be opening that door and hitting.
That's what we are now. David Savage, Los Angeles Times, Rachel Tibb, and Michael Moreland, our thanks to each of you. Thank you very much for being with us. Bye.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.